Welcome to the Wealth Studying Podcast. This is episode 36. It's October 21st, 2014. I'm your host, John Pugliano. I'm also the founder and money manager at investablewealth.com. Thanks for joining us today. This podcast is dedicated to all aspects of helping you build your wealth. And we don't do it simply for the money. It's really about the freedom. That's why I like to say money may not buy happiness, but it can buy freedom. Because the markets have been so turbulent, and today was a follow-through day with the market moving from a correction into a confirmed uptrend, we're going to be spending this episode specifically talking about that event, and not only how it relates just to today's market, but also to educate you and help you understand how to identify a market bottom so that you can be a better trader in the stock market. Before we get started in that, I do want to cover two things. One is I do want to remind you that we have a contest going on. If you'd like to spend at least an hour or so with me on a telephone or Skype, just for private chat, a little mentoring, just a conversation between two old friends, whatever questions you have for me, whether it relates to business, anything really about wealth building. I'm in my early 50s. I've had a lot of careers, everything from enlisted to officer in the military, 20-year career in corporate America, finally broke those shackles, was able to create my own job. I like to call myself a late-blooming entrepreneur. I've been trading in the stock market for nearly 30 years. I currently run my own investment firm. So with this lifetime experience that I've had, my travels to building wealth, I think there's a lot I can share with you. If you have a question about any of those areas, you just want to bounce some ideas off me, maybe a business idea, I'd be happy to do that. You do need to enter the contest to make this happen, though. Unfortunately, I can't spend hours on the phone with everyone. So what I'm doing in this particular contest is I'd like you to go back to the first 10 episodes of this podcast. That's where we lay out the foundations of the 10 wealth-building principles. Take a look at those. If you haven't listened to them, I'd encourage you to do that. That's one of the reasons that I'm having this contest, is I want to put all the emphasis back on those 10 wealth-building principles. You have to build that foundation. You have to start with a solid base before you can build wealth. Building wealth is really a simple process, but you do have to take it in steps. You have to earn, you have to save, and then you have to invest. I think if you listen to those 10 wealth-building principles, you'll get a better understanding of how you can build wealth in your own personal life. And then I also think that'll make each of these episodes more relevant to you because we try and always focus the topic of the day or the show or the episode is somehow tied back and related to one or more of those 10 wealth-building principles. So anyways, figure out which one of those you think is the least downloaded. Get in touch with me through my website. That's wealthstudying.com. I'm not going to spam you. I really don't even want your email address, but I do need some way to get in touch with you if you do win. So let me know which one of those you think would be the least listened to. I'll have a drawing on October 26th, 11 p.m. Pacific time. That's the cutoff date for it. So whoever has the right answer and gets picked in my random drawing will get an hour or so with me on the telephone or on Skype. I'm looking forward to that. I also did want to mention that I'll be speaking this weekend in Boise, Idaho at the Idaho Liberty Expo. Now, recently I've been doing a lot of public appearances and speaking, and I haven't really announced it on the podcast. I forget to do that. I'm actually kind of a bad promoter and bad marketer myself, but a couple of you have chastised me for that and said, hey, I didn't know you were speaking at such and such event. Anyway, so I will be better in the future about giving you lead time and letting you know where I'm going to be so that maybe we can link up or have some meetings. But this Saturday, October 25th, Boise, Idaho, Idaho Liberty Expo, I will be there. If you're going to be at that, make sure you come up and say hi to me. If you're there, if you're just live in the Boise area and you'd like to get together for a listener meetup or something, get in contact with me through wealthstudying.com. We'll see if we can meet somewhere for a drink or something. It's always a pleasure to see the listeners face to face. And again, in the future, I will give you more lead time. I apologize for such short notice. But let's jump right into the topic of today's episode, and that's that the market is back in an uptrend. There was a very strong follow-through today. In fact, it was the strongest follow-through day that we'd seen all year, and that really was needed because this correction has been the worst correction that we've seen all year. So let's briefly run through a little bit of the market performance, talk about the correction, and then explain this follow-through day. I want you to be able to understand and identify a market bottom. It's very important if you're going to do any kind of swing trading or try and time the market. So on September 19th, 2014, the S&P hit an all-time high. The intraday high was 2019. The market got exhausted at that point, as it often does. We never really know why a market tops out, or why it bottoms out for that matter. Many times, though, it simply comes down to exhaustion. The market goes up so high, so fast, there just aren't any more people to buy in at that price. and then it has to consolidate and settle down for a while. Sometimes some panic selling settles in like it has in these past few weeks. And then the market bottoms out. And again, why it bottoms out? Well, there may or may not be a reason to it. Sometimes it just comes back to exhaustion, though. It gets to the point where everyone that panicked and sold has sold their stocks. There's no one left to sell, and so the buyers come back in. So there may not be any rhyme or reason to it. Could simply just be exhaustion. The talking heads on TV, they all want to speculate. They all want to pontificate. They all want to tell you what's going on. You know, in my nearly 30 years of investing, I have tried to understand the market. I am a student of history. But at the end of the day, I also know the only thing that really matters is my net worth. You know, it really comes down to it doesn't necessarily matter if I understand why the market went up or why it went down. What's really important is the balance in my brokerage account or in my bank account at the end of the day or the end of the month. And I'd like to encourage you to think in those terms too. It's less important that you understand all the nuts and bolts of why something's happening. You know, there's always things going on in the world. We have the Russian and the Ukraine issues. We always have problems in the Middle East. Currently, we're experiencing an Ebola breakout in the U.S. You know, there's always uncertainty in the market. But again, at the end of the day, what really matters is, did you make money? Are you ahead of the game? Some of the ups and downs and gyrations in the stock market are specifically related to events that you can put your finger on, you can be sure. Yes, you know, this particular occurrence, September 11th, 19 hijackers crashing planes in the World Trade Center, that definitely had an impact on the stock market. It created a near and long-term trend. So that's something you can be sure about. The Ebola breakout in the U.S., I do think that could have had some issues, particularly in the airline stocks and some of the other markets, the defensive hazmat-type medical protective companies that make those things. I mean, the airlines went down. The hazmat-type protective companies went up. How much of that actually affected the Dow, the NASDAQ, the S&P 500? You know, we may never know. The important thing is, did you lose any money over this past correction, or will you be making any money as we go into this new uptrend? That's what's really important. But I digress. So back to the charts. The S&P 500 hit an all-time high September 19th, 2014. It was at about 2019. I believe it got exhausted at that point. Panic set in. It dropped below its 50-day moving average, and then it dropped deeply below its 200-day moving average, something we haven't seen all year. In fact, I don't have the full chart in front of me, but maybe even something we haven't seen in 2 years. Very uncharacteristic of this market. The market was showing a possible change in personality. A lot of people panicked. It looks like we've gone exhaustion on the panic, though. Just a few days ago, a month after the all-time high on October 15th, the market appeared to bottom out. It dropped down to a low of 1820 on that day. So that's a correction of about 10%. I believe that's the steepest correction we've seen in about 2 years, but in historical terms, it's very mild. It barely even qualifies as a correction. 10 to 15% corrections are common. We should normally, in a healthy market, see those every couple years, maybe every 18 months. And usually every, you know, couple years to 3 years, you're seeing a 20% correction. Those are good, healthy things for the market. They help check people, put them back into reality, have them focus on valuations, on earnings. It helps the market readjust from malinvestments. Now, I believe because the Federal Reserve has had quantitative easing 1, 2, and now we're just ending 3, I think that's a lot of the reason that we haven't seen some major corrections over the last 6 years. Incidentally, I did just put up a post on my firm's website at investablewealth.com. If you look under the news and commentary section, posted an article, I think it was entitled, Market Uptrend, but Don't Forget This QE Chart. If you're interested in how quantitative easing has factored into the market rise, go over and take a look at that article. I specifically look at the chart that's attached at the bottom. It shows the rise in the Federal Reserve's balance sheet up to right around now, $4.5 trillion. That's about the value of all 30 stocks in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. They've accumulated that over the last 6 years or so. You can see as their balance sheet has risen, so has the stock market. And at the same time, they're shaded in areas there showing when they started and stopped each of these three quantitative easing patterns. And after QE1, when they stopped that, the market went down. It started to go back up again when they started QE2. The market went down when they ended QE2. And then it started going back up again when they started QE3. Well, this month, they are at the end of QE3. We did see a major correction. But again, it does look like the market's recovering from that. I do want to point out, though, that we do want to proceed ahead with caution. Quantitative easing has definitely helped the stock market. Although I'm concerned, I'm not worried. because the Federal Reserve still has that $4.5 trillion on their balance sheet. They're not retiring that debt. They're going to keep injecting that into the market. I'm sure they'll keep buying new mortgages, buying more treasuries and other securities as those things mature. So they've got a lot of money to play with. And of course, if things fall apart, they'll probably come back in with a QE4. I don't like it. I don't think it's the right thing to do. I think it's distorting the markets. I think it's making it much harder to invest from a rational and a valuation basis because they've distorted the markets. But you know what? The market doesn't care what I want. Neither does the Federal Reserve. And so you don't trade with the market you want. You trade with the market you have. And so it's there. We need to figure out a way to take advantage of it. So as I said when I started out, we just experienced the worst correction of this year, about 10%. And although in historical terms, that isn't a big deal, it was a major change in personality for the stock market. Probably had a lot to do with quantitative easing coming to an end, the global slowdown, the first signs of Ebola breaking out in the U.S. I mean, all these things could have played into it. What I want to point out to you and have you understand, though, is how to detect a market bottom. Now, I'm going to give you general information on this. As I always tell you, I have no clue what direction the market's going to take, and neither does anyone else. But we can study history, and from history, we can try and make intelligent observations. And something that we've learned from history when it comes to market bottoms, and now I'm referring specifically to the work that Bill O'Neill has done. He's the publisher of Investors Business Daily. That's over at investors.com. He's also written many books on the topic. His most famous is How to Make Money with Stocks. But through his research and then research that I've done too that I back up, I do agree with the numbers he gives. So when it comes to a market bottom, the method that I use and the method that Bill O'Neill talks about is that you take a waiting period. You want to wait and let things settle out. And generally the best way to do that, and again, this is determined by going back and looking at the market for the last, 180 years or so and looking and seeing, okay, every time there's been a correction of say, 10, 15, 20%, what were the elements that occurred at that bottom before the market went back into an uptrend? And the best way to determine a market bottom and to determine when you're going into an uptrend is to look for a follow-through day. That's what we experienced today, October 21st, 2014. We saw all the major indexes have their prices rise significantly in high volume, high trading volume. So the S&P 500 was up nearly 2%. The NASDAQ was up almost 2.5%. Both indexes were up well above the average trading volume, and they were also significantly higher than the previous day's trade. Remember, the volume is the number of shares that are traded. So when you hear that the S&P went up almost 2%, that's telling you the price of the point level. So it closed at 1941, it went up almost 38 points. That's where the 2% comes in. But the next question is, you have to ask about the volume. It's not enough to know that the shares traded in higher dollar amounts, a higher value. What's important is how many people actually traded, how many people bought into that. And today it was significant. The volume on the New York Stock Exchange was up almost 20% above average. So that's a significant amount. That shows that a lot of people are coming into the market. And I don't mean people like me and you, individual investors. I mean the institutional investors, the hedge funds, the retirement funds, the big mutual fund companies. These are the people that we need to come into the market. They drive the market. And so when we see them coming in full force, buying in an up market, that's what we call a follow-through day. And so back to the market bottom. The way you can help determine if you've come upon a market bottom is to look for that follow-through day. And based on historical studies, you want that follow-through day to occur at least 4 days into the rally, into the uptrend. So let me explain that a little better. On Wednesday, October 15th, the market had plunged down at that point and up till then had hit its lowest point in the past few months. If you look at a chart, you can clearly see that that was a very low point. Now, the following 4 days, the market closed up. So on Thursday, it was up just slightly. On Friday, it was up more. Monday was up even more, and then today, Tuesday, it was up again significantly. So when I talk about being up, I mean that over the last 4 days, from peak to trough, from the very bottom of the market on the 15th to the high close that it had today, the market was up over 6.5%. That's a significant increase. And over those 4 days, 3 of those days were done in significantly above average volume. The one outlier of those days, it was at about average volume, and the other 3 were significantly above average, very much above average. So that shows strong buying power. It shows that these big institutional investors felt that we were at a market bottom, and they all piled back into the market. But we waited until today, the 4th day of that rally, that fourth day of increase since the most recent bottom to determine that the market was in an uptrend. And now you may say, well, why would you do that? You gave up maybe 6.5% of an increase waiting till today. Well, remember, we're prudent investors. And yes, you could have tried to jump into the market back on the 15th and say, hey, I think this is the bottom and I'm just going to get in. Had you done that, congratulations. If you'd have gotten in at the very bottom, you'd be up about 6.5% today. But you know, no one can tell when we're at a bottom. And so you have to weigh the risks and the uncertainty. So while you could have jumped in on October 15th and thought it was a bottom, you could have just as easily thought that the bottom would have been on October 13th, but you would have been wrong, and the market would have gone down another 3.5-4% from there. You could have also thought the market bottom was on October 10th, but you'd have been wrong, or October 9th, or way back over to October 2nd. Any of those days could have looked like a market bottom. In fact, for that matter, it looked like it was a market bottom on September 25th when the S&P closed below its 50-day moving average and then turned right around and went above it. But you know what? It reversed. And then the 50-day moving average started acting like resistance instead of support. You could have jumped the gun and tried to get back in on October 8th when you thought it was going to go through the 50-day moving average. But you know what? It didn't. See, this is uncertainty. We don't ever know for sure, and that's why we wait. And there's no guarantee that the market won't go down tomorrow or the next day. But generally, what we look for is a strong follow-through day on day 4 through day 7. That's the best. You want it to come at least after 4 days of an attempted uptrend, you know, attempted rising above the lowest point. And you can easily look at a chart and see that. You can see where the market bottoms out, and then you can see as it tries to come up. And as long as it doesn't go below that bottom again, you can keep counting those days. So that follow-through day, that increase in the market in strong volume, you really want to see that on days 4 through day 7. Before day 4, we discount it. After day 7, we still count it, but you might be a little cautious. And all year long, that's actually what we've been seeing. We've seen very mild follow-through days coming late in the uptrend. That's what's concerned me all year. I'm actually, though, very impressed with what's happened for the last 4 days. As I say, coming up 6.5% in 4 or 5 days in very high volume. That was the kind of strong follow-through that we needed to counteract this equally strong downturn that we saw. So I believe we're currently in a market uptrend. We have to wait and see what happens. All the major indexes rose above their 200-day moving average. That's very important. We even saw a pretty nice increase on the small cap stocks, the Russell 2000 stocks. They've been struggling for most of the year. They're starting to do better. And again, we can probably attribute this to a lot of things. We haven't had an increase in Ebola breakouts. We're seeing lower oil prices. That looks like that's going to be sustained. That's going to help consumer spending. That's going to help transportation companies and other type of companies and people that use a lot of petroleum and energy products. Overall in the U.S., we are seeing continued growth. We're seeing earnings come in at around 7% or more. We're still early in the earnings period. We could get some surprises. So these things could turn around. But overall, near-term, short-term trend, I think things look encouraging. We have midterm elections coming up. That's a wild card. The Ebola breakout, that's a wild card. We don't know what's going to happen there. We do know that there's a global slowdown. Europe is going into a recession. I don't think that's going to change. There's still danger of those countries over there like Portugal, Italy, Greece, Spain, still issues with their economy, very poor. They could default on their debt. There could be bank problems, you know, liquidity, all kinds of issues over there. China continues to slow down. They probably have a real estate bubble. Could be big problems there. As the U.S. dollar rises, that could put pressure on other emerging markets. We're seeing stagnation in big emerging markets like countries like Brazil. So there are a lot of problems out there. But again, in the U.S. right now, this near-term, short-term, between now and the end of the year, we'll have to see how things play out. Now, I'm not giving advice here, but I am encouraging you to look at the trends. Think about companies or industries that will benefit from lower oil prices, from a possible rising dollar. Now, the dollar has settled back down from where it was. I think if we do see this increased expansion in the stock market, the dollar will go back up because of all the problems in the world, all the other weak economies. The U.S. dollar remains the nicest house in a bad neighborhood. I tell people, hey, we're the tallest midget. So I think you're going to see continued strength in the dollar. I think it's going to go back up and test the levels that we saw just a few weeks ago. Those levels have been resistance points. It'll be interesting to see if we can break above them. But personally, I am counting on a stronger dollar. So look for companies that will benefit. Avoid companies that will hurt. Think of smaller domestic U.S. companies, companies that are not multinationals, companies that don't rely on a lot of exports to get their earnings. Again, companies that are going to benefit from lower petroleum prices. Those are the areas that I think could do very well between now and the end of the year. Again, we have to see what happens at this midterm election. That could shake things up one way or the other. I do have to say, though, that I'm more optimistic at this point than I have been at any time this year. And that's because of what I see in the chart. When I look at the chart of the S&P 500, that low that was made just 5 days ago on October 15th, although we came off the highs from about 10%, that low that we had on October 15th was still higher than the lows that we saw back in April when we'd seen the second correction for the year. Basically, we saw a correction at the end of January, a very short one. Then we saw a correction around mid-April. Then we experienced a correction over the summer. And now just finally this most recent one here in October. Well, this recent one was tough. It broke through the 50-day moving average. It broke down through the 200-day moving average. And that breaking through the 200-day moving average, I was very pessimistic at that point because we had not seen the S&P 500 break the 200-day moving average since back 2 years ago, November of 2012. That's the last time the S&P 500 had broken through the 200-day moving average. And as far as how steep that it broke through the moving average, we really hadn't seen anything like that going back until probably sometime mid-2011. So going back a lot of years. We could have seen the market go on to drop 20, 25%, 30%. Some of these valuations are very high, but you know what? We didn't see that. We saw the markets turn around. Over the last 4 days, we saw an increase, as I said, of about 6.5% in very, very high volume. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't problems out there. And again, that doesn't mean that we won't see a correction. But it does look like a lot of people that have much more money than you and I are ever going to have, they're buying into this uptrend. And I'm going to follow them. And that's a point I want to make in this podcast. Oftentimes, you'll hear people criticize the herd mentality of Wall Street. You know, they'll say things like, well, Wall Street just goes in packs, or it's a herd mentality. Everybody jumps into something at the same time. And basically, that's what I'm telling you about today. I'm telling you the market went up significantly today. It was a follow-through day. I jumped back into the market. Many people jumped into the market. And it may seem counterintuitive. You may want to be a contrarian and say, well, why jump into the market when everybody else is getting in? You know, that's a sign of disaster. But think about it. Why do animals in Africa travel in herds? Why do zebras and gazelles run in herds? They run in a pack because that's where their protection is. Wolves and other animals of prey, they hunt in packs because that gives them a comparative advantage. See, the herd can be protective. The zebra or the gazelle that gets eaten by a lion, that's one that was an older one that fell back from the pack and couldn't keep up with the herd. Or it was a younger one that didn't know any better and wandered away from the herd, was away from the protection of the herd. Well, use that illustration to think of the stock market. The herd mentality isn't always wrong. It can be a very safe place to be as in that herd. I often use the example of ice fishing. I don't go out on the ice until I see somebody out there that's fatter than me. You know, if I see somebody out there with their pickup truck or their snow machine, hey, I know the ice is good and thick. I know it's safe for me to walk out on it. That's a mentality you want to have in the stock market. You can make money being a contrarian. By nature, I'm a contrarian. But I've learned over the years, there's safety in the herd. There's safety in the pack. When everybody else is buying into a trend, it's probably a good time to get into it, particularly in the early part of the trend. So we want to get in early, but we don't want to get in too early. And that's why we wait at least 4 days to look for the volume and see if that market's going to move up. Now, again, the reason I'm optimistic in looking at this chart is, although we broke hard through the 200-day moving average, we didn't go below the lows that occurred earlier in the year in April. There was a lot of support at those levels. In fact, multiple month support. That was a good support level going back as far as the early part of the year. And then those levels were reached and maintained again in April. So when we hit at that level and we didn't go below it, that showed support. And then within a day or so, we bounced right off of those levels anyways. As I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, the major indexes all went back up above, comfortably above their 200-day moving averages today. So that's another good sign. So what we're looking for in the future, what we're looking for over the next few days, is can the S&P 500 break out above its 50-day moving average? Or will that 50-day moving average act as resistance? Well, that 50-day moving average, the S&P will hit that somewhere around 1997. So we're at 1941 now. We want to break out above 1997. That's about 55, 56 points away from now. That's about 2.5%. So look for a 2.5% rise in the market. If the market can go through that, can go up 3%, can go up somewhere around that 2000 mark, then that'll be really good news. We'll know that the 50-day moving average isn't acting as resistance. If, however, that 50-day moving average acts as resistance and we get up around that 1997 level and it can't get above it, then look for maybe another short-term correction. You might see people lose their enthusiasm and it drop down from there. That's definitely possible. But let's see what happens over the next couple days and weeks. Remember, the midterm elections are just a couple of weeks away. I'm sure, if nothing else, that'll have a psychological impact on the market. It would be nice to see the S&P hit that 50-day moving average and then bounce up and go way above 2000. As we get into November and December, there's always a lot of rotation in the stock market. There's a lot more money that comes in as people rearrange their portfolios and make tax decisions. So oftentimes we'll see the markets go up November, December. We call it a Santa Claus rally. I don't know if that's going to happen this year. Like I say, though, I am more optimistic now than I have been all year long. And while I'm concerned about the slowdown globally, I think these lower oil prices, I think the fact that we're not going to see the Federal Reserve raise interest rates anytime soon, so we have lower oil prices, we have sustained low interest rates, we have either a stable or a strong dollar. Factor that in with midterm elections, possible Santa Claus rally. It would be great to see a nice run-up between now and December. We could take our profits before the end of the year and then go into 2015 very defensively. I think 2015 is going to be a year of many challenges. So I'd love to finish out this year with a nice gain and then ride things out early in 2015 in cash with a nice war chest. That's my thoughts right now. Again, just my own opinion, not offering any advice or recommendations to you. Just trying to help you understand the market and help you better understand things about how we look for a market bottom. Now, we have had a strong 4 days or so in the market. Don't be surprised if things get a little jittery again. Again, particularly as we get close to that 50-day moving average. So keep your seatbelts on, keep your fingers crossed, look for some trends that you can follow. That'll wrap up today's episode. Don't forget about the contest. As always, I enjoy reading your comments and questions. You can get in touch with me at wealthsteading.com. Thanks again to all of you that have made the effort to go out and to subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher or have put a review out there. I really appreciate it. If you haven't done that yet, hey, it really helps us grow the community. It's easier for people to find out about the show if we have high ratings, and that happens when you subscribe to the show, when you give us reviews. It also happens when you share the podcast with your friends and family, tell people about it on social media. I really appreciate all of you that have done that. Keep it up. Thanks so much. As always, and until the next episode, this is John Pugliano wishing you the very best of returns.